NASA has delayed the launch of Discovery again. Rapid decompression on a 757 prompts an investigation. And an Australian carrier fights a 1,500-hour minimum. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Pardon me if I sound a little punchy. I've been up all night watching election returns. Anyway, here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010. NASA has been forced to delay the final launch of the shuttle Discovery again by at least 24 hours. The launch had been scheduled for this afternoon at 3:52 p.m. The New Hope is tomorrow at 3:29 p.m. As of our deadline, the odds of acceptable weather for a launch at that time was down to 30%. NASA blames an electrical problem on the most complicated machine ever built. A press conference is scheduled for 2 p.m. Eastern today to update status. The FAA and NTSB are looking into an incident last week in which a 2-foot-long hole opened up in the fuselage of an American Airlines Boeing 757 at about 31,000 feet, causing rapid cabin decompression and forcing an emergency landing at Miami International Airport. The Christian Science Monitor reports the plane had departed Miami for Boston as Flight 1640. Witnesses on the plane said there was a panic in the cabin as the oxygen masks dropped down and the pilot put the plane into steep descent. The landing back at Miami was comparatively routine. Boeing is reportedly working on a service bulletin to cover 757 models which have recorded 20 to 25,000 flights, which is a little young in the world of fatigue issues. Boeing says it's fully cooperating with an investigation underway by the FAA and NTSB. The Australian freight airline Regional Express, aka Rex, is voicing concern over requiring all pilots engaged in airline operations in Australia to have logged a minimum of 1,500 hours flying time, as suggested in a current Senate inquiry into pilot training. The move follows a similar proposal in the U.S. Rex calls it a knee-jerk reaction to a fatal airline accident. The airline points out the accident involved two experienced pilots with well over 2,000 hours of flight experience each. The airline also points out that graduates of its own cadet program perform better in their second year on the job than new incoming pilots with 1,500 hours. Rex has made a submission to the Senate inquiry, which is available on its website at rex.com.au. An 8-year, $95 million contract has been awarded to Helijet International by Canada's British Columbia Ambulance Service to provide 3 helicopters, flight, and maintenance personnel for air ambulance services based in Vancouver and Prince Rupert. The contract goes into effect April 1st of next year and includes a 4-year extension option. Helijet will acquire Sikorsky S-76C Plus helicopters for the contract and will require a staff of 45 professionals to manage, fly, and maintain them. Up next on ANN, GAO says the FAA doesn't follow its own rules consistently. New EU rules against U.S. planes and pilots are on hold. And Riverside, Ohio shows appreciation for general aviation. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. A report released last week from the Government Accountability Office found that variation in FAA's interpretation of its standards for certification and approval decisions is a long-standing issue, but found no evidence that quantified the extent of the problem to the industry as a whole. The report found that the variability is a result of factors related to performance-based regulations, which allow for multiple avenues of compliance and the use of professional judgment by FAA staff, and that the variability can result in delays and higher costs. Industry stakeholders and experts generally agreed that FAA's certification and approval processes contribute to aviation safety and work well most of the time, but negative experiences have led to costly delays for the industry. NATA, which asked Representatives John Mica of Florida and Pete Sessions of Texas to initiate the inquiry, says the report fails to provide meaningful information on the root cause and scope of the inconsistencies, and lacks an insightful analysis on how aviation businesses are impacted every day. Implementation of seemingly nationalistic new regs limiting the use of U.S.-registered aircraft or pilots with U.S. certificates in Europe will be delayed at least 2 months. The International Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association says that following a concerted campaign by the organization, the European Commission's committee which oversees EASA's proposals, called the Comitology Committee, pushed a decision on third-country licenses back by 2 months. That will allow EASA to produce new proposals. EASA's new draft will be circulated to members of the Comitology Committee in the next 2 weeks, and a full deliberation is scheduled for the 8th of December. EASA has made no secret of the fact that it wants to get third-country aircraft, and specifically those on the N register, out of Europe. But in the past, it has said it would do this by making sure there were no advantages to being on the N register. However, it's found it difficult or impossible to address the relevant issues and seems to have opted instead for a train wreck approach, which IAOPA says would be disastrous for general aviation in Europe. IAOPA believes the flight crew licensing proposal is only the first stage in EASA's move against the N register, with more to come in proposals on operations. The organization says these moves are politically motivated and have nothing to do with safety, and EASA regulation should not be used in political disputes. The City Council in Riverside, Ohio, has declared this month to be General Aviation Appreciation Month. The resolution states that general aviation is a strategic resource for the community and plays a critical role in the lives of residents of Riverside, just northeast of Dayton. The National Aviation Hall of Fame, located in Riverside, is a landmark for the impact the aviation industry has on not only the state of Ohio, but the entire nation. In a news release Monday, the Alliance for Aviation Across America praised the move. Executive Director Selena Shalad commented, quote, "General aviation in Ohio alone contributes $5.56 billion to the state's economy and puts over 17,000 Ohioans to work. The city of Riverside's proclamation is a shining example of a community that realizes the value of this industry, and we applaud their efforts in highlighting the impact of this vital industry," unquote. Selena will be my guest today on the Aero News special feature. Still ahead, Bombardier has a new CRJ order from Estonia. Eurocopter will sell and assemble helicopters in Kazakhstan. And you must carry a wheelchair, whether you need it or not. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. The Wide Area Multilateration System developed by Sensis Corporation has passed muster with the Australian Civil Aviation Safety Authority and is now operational in airspace covering Tasmania. The system uses both multilateration and ADS-B to provide enhanced en route surveillance of air traffic across the island and down to the surface at Hobart and Launceston airports. The more precise surveillance of aircraft enables controllers to implement 5 nautical miles separation for safer, more efficient use of the airspace in a region previously controlled with procedural separation standards. Bombardier Aerospace reports Estonian Air has signed a firm order for 3 CRJ-900 next-gen aircraft and has also taken options on 2 more. The contract is valued at about $123 million, or $211 million if both options should be converted to firm orders. Estonian Air CEO Andres Aljas commented, quote, "We require aircraft with less capacity than our mainline jets. The CRJ-900 next-gen aircraft, which offer an excellent combination of performance, operating economics, and passenger comfort are ideally suited for our requirements and will be deployed as part of our fleet optimization program, unquote. Including these, Bombardier has recorded firm orders for a total of 1,709 CRJ series aircraft. Eurocopter says it's working on a 50-50 joint venture in Kazakhstan to assemble EC-145 helicopters there, along with a sale of 45 of the locally assembled machines for government missions in that country. The joint venture to make it all happen is expected to be in place next month. The plan is to assemble EC-145s, which in this case will be called KH-145s, with the first one slated to be completed in late 2011. The partners will also develop local maintenance and training to support operations throughout the new customs union zone created this summer by Kazakhstan, Russia, and Belarus, and the entire Central Asian region. The initiative is expected to produce several hundred skilled jobs in Kazakhstan. And finally today, passengers aboard a recent Delta Airlines flight set to depart New York's JFK Airport were told their flight was being delayed because the airplane's wheelchair had a broken handle and the plane could not take off while that piece of equipment was damaged. The blog Freakonomics from the New York Times reports it apparently took 2.5 hours for an undamaged wheelchair to be located, and that when asked, a flight attendant tersely told a passenger that the wheelchair was a requirement of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and that it had to be on board even though no one on the plane needed a wheelchair. There are no reports of passengers getting terse. Maybe that's because they've been driving by rows of empty handicap spaces for years now. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, meet Selena Shalad, the executive director of the Alliance for Aviation Across America. We'll talk about the organization's start, its growth, and its future. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.